Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees for today's Sunday feast program. First of all, I would like to appreciate and acknowledge your great sacrifice today on this hot summer afternoon. On top of that, being Pandav Nirjala Ekadashi, we have gathered together to hear and chant the glories of Lord Krishna. I remember my first Nirjala Ekadashi, I was in Vrindavan, and you know, it's so hot over there this part of the year. And the most difficult part was to pass the night and to attend the next day's morning program. But surprisingly, the next day's morning program, especially during the Tulsi Aarti, especially during the Tulsi Pradakshina Mantra, the devotees were chanting it very enthusiastically. And I was amazed. Later on I found, one devotee told me, that because that Tulsi Pradakshina Mantra said, Yani Kani Chapa Pani. In anticipation of that pani, everyone was chanting very enthusiastically. So hopefully we can make it till tomorrow's Tulsi Aarti at least, to chant that mantra very enthusiastically. So today we have proposed to discuss a very important and pertinent topic, the glories of Krishna connection. How to connect ourselves with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what are the glories of that Krishna connection. Now we have heard so many times the meaning of this word yoga, which means to relink our consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. This word religion also has the same meaning, to reconnect. It comes from the Greek word religio. Re means again, and ligio means to connect. Like in English we have this word ligament, which also comes from the same root, ligio. So yoga, religion, it means we have to reconnect our consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. Now when we are speaking of reconnection, it means at one point of time we got disconnected from the Supreme Lord, because of which we have to reconnect ourselves now. And not only did we disconnect ourselves with the Supreme Lord, but we got connected with Maya, material energy. We have that famous verse, Krishna bhulya jiva bhogavancha kare, nikatastha maya tare jhapatiyan dhare. Krishna and Maya are very close to that living entity. And as soon as the conditioned living entity forgets Krishna, immediately there is bhogavancha. So unless there is Krishna bhulya, there cannot be bhogavancha. And unless there is bhogavancha, there cannot be maya jhapatiya dhare. So it is like in one line. So we forget Krishna and we enjoy try to enjoy separately from Krishna, and that is how maya gets connected with us. Now, when we get connected to Maya, it's not that it's just one-to-one connection with Maya. Just like when we get connected to Krishna, we get connected to Krishna's various aspects. His name, His form, His qualities, His paraphernalia, His abode, His devotees. All these aspects are also connected to us when we get ourselves connected to Krishna. Similarly, we can understand, when one gets connected to Maya, Maya also has her name, form, quality, pastimes, abode, agents, on and on and on. It's not that when somebody wants to enjoy the different mind activities in this world, he's going to enjoy in a clean way. Just like we say, Atha Sri Krishna Namani, that along with Krishna comes his name, and Adi means all, you know, form, pastimes, like that. And also in Bhagavatam we hear Atha Griha Kshetra Suta Apta Vittai. When one is in this I and me consciousness, which means this Maya consciousness, all of these attachments also follow. Like if somebody wants to enjoy a certain sense object, it's not that that particular sense object will be presented by Maya in a very clean and neat way. For example, if somebody wants to eat something very palatable, which is a sense object for the tongue, it's not going to drop from the sky. It has got so many other attachments which one has to take care of in order to enjoy that one sense object. One needs a kitchen for that. One needs utensils, ingredients, a cook. And for all of that one needs money. And then for that money, one needs a job. And then it just goes on and on and on. So one sense object is not given in a very clean way by Maya. All these attachments and accompaniments are there along with it. Like in America, they have these huge shopping malls wherein everything and anything under the sun you can get under one roof in these shopping malls. So one such shopping mall had very poor sales. So the owner of that mall was having orientation seminars for the salesmen, how to boost up the sales. And after those seminars, one fine day one salesman comes up and hands over $1 million check to the owner. And this owner surprisingly becomes so happy. And $1 million check within just 1 week, how did you do that? He said, I just convinced one customer to buy a fishing rod. A fishing rod for $1 million? How did you do that? Actually, first I convinced him to buy this fishing rod, and then I told him that in order to enjoy nice fishing, you should go deep into the waters. So for that you need a boat. And in that section of our mall, we also sell boats. So you can get that one also for you. So he got one boat. And then I told that, how will you carry this boat to your house and to the river? So you need a pickup truck. So also we have the facility for you to get a pickup truck. So you can buy a pickup truck also. So like that, I convinced him to buy a fishing rod and a boat and then a truck. And this owner was so happy. He said, this is genius. This is something what I want from all of you. And he was just glorifying the salesman. And then he asked, by the way, how did you convince him in the first place to buy that fishing rod? And then the salesman said, I forgot to tell you, actually this customer had come with a headache. He just wanted one aspirin. And I told, why don't you take a break today and go out fishing? And that's how the whole story began. So this customer had come just to buy one aspirin, and he landed up buying a fishing rod, a boat, a pickup truck. We see that the sense objects, they come with so many attachments along with it. Now people, they forget one very important and overriding reality, that along with all these sense objects, along with all the attachments of various other objects with one sense object, there also comes the misery aspect. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga
దుఃఖయో నయేవతి ఆద్యంతవంత కౌంతేయ నతేషు రమతే బుధః.
That when the senses come in contact with the sense objects, that is the source of misery. So people, they only focus on the pleasurable part of that particular interaction, but they forget to understand that along with all the connections with various objects of those sense objects, every sense object carries with it the aspect of misery, dukkha, yoni, as it is said by Krishna. And because under illusion, Maya Devi presents only that aspect of that sense object in front of our eyes or in our sense, in front of our senses, only that aspect which gives us pleasure, you forget to see that behind that is the flip side of misery. Like recently, one man, he wanted to get married, and actually he was carrying HIV positive virus along with him. He was an AIDS patient. But he thought, let us go ahead and advertise openly if I can get someone to marry me before I die. So he advertised in the newspapers, the matrimonials, that he wants to get married. His name, he was well qualified, you know, he's carrying this qualification. And towards the end of this advertisement, he wrote, he's also carrying HIV. This was quite bold and courageous to mention that also, carrying HIV. So, surprisingly, immediately he got more than 25 responses. And he was totally amazed. And he really wanted to find out. So he interviewed all of these more than 25 women who had responded. And he asked them that, what was that thing which attracted you the most in that advertisement which you read? And everyone said, the last line. The last line? The last line said, I'm carrying HIV. And everyone looked at each other. Is that what you meant? And he asked, what did you understand? Is that we understood you are carrying H-1 visa for USA. It happened just recently. So all of them, they thought that this person, you know, I appears to be like one. So they thought that he's carrying H-1 visa for USA. So if we get married to this person, you know, we will also get, you know, residence in USA. And then immediately, when they understood that he's carrying this virus, deadly virus of AIDS, immediately everyone rejected. So we see, apparently we don't understand that every sense object is actually carrying the virus of misery. And we only focus on the pleasurable part. As it is said that there are no free lunches in this world. Of course for the Sunday feast. But of course over here also you have to go through the entire lecture and then, but today, sorry for that also. So they said there are no free lunches. No one is immune with miseries. Even a lion has to fight off the small flies which are disturbing him. Though he might be a very powerful lion, but still he has to fight off those flies. So, we see that sense object carries along with it so many accompaniments, and the last bogey in this trail is the bogey of misery, dukkha yoni, which is definitely going to come. It's packed up, all the sense objects are packed up with that. Now, if we go a little deeper into all the objects of this world which we are so much attached to, and try to dig a little deeper into all these sense objects, we'll find that ultimately everything is connected to Krishna, because he's the supreme creator. Just like, let us take for example our own bodies which we are so attached to, don't have to go anywhere else, our own bodies we are so attached to. So this body is not just a lump of flesh. We are attached not just to lump of flesh, we are attached to the various senses, the limbs of our body. And if we take all of these senses independently as an independent unit, doesn't have any value. Let us start from the top. Everyone is so much attached to the hairs. People spend so much time grooming their hairs in front of the mirror, applying so many lotions and creams, which are so costly. So it's very economical to be Hare Krishna. So they spend so much of their time and money to just groom their hairs. One of my acquaintances, when the first time when he saw me shaven headed, he was totally appalled. He said, if somebody cuts off my head, I don't mind that. But somebody shaves off my head, I can't tolerate that. Now what is the use of that head which is cut off from your body and having hair on it? But he was so much attached. He said that. Now, we see people, they sing poetries and songs glorifying someone's hair. But after all, you see, all of that glorification is done only till that point when the hair is connected to the head. You won't find any poetries glorifying the hair which is lying on the floor of the barber saloon. Or people who go for a haircut, you know, they don't collect their own hair. You know, I applied so much cream this morning on this hair, you know, so let me carry this with me. It's just thrown in the garbage. Which means hair has got its value when it is connected to the head. And the head has got its value when it is connected to the shoulders. Even on this head, we see we have our eyes, our nose, if they are properly placed at proper places, then only it has got any value. You know, if the eyes are placed somewhere else on the face, can you imagine what that person would look like? Imagine the eyes were here. You know, he would look like a demon. Or even the eyeballs, you know, some people, their eyeballs are a little misplaced. Looks very weird. So everything, when it is properly connected, again we are coming back to that theme. So the eyes are properly connected to the face, the nose is properly connected to the face, then only it has got any value. In and itself, as an independent unit, the hairs do not have any value, the eyes, the nose, all these features do not have any value when they are properly connected with each other. So the head, when it is connected to the shoulders, it has got any value. The shoulders to the torso to the waist to the legs. Ultimately, all the limbs, when they are properly connected with each other, then only it has got any value whatsoever. Now, we might have a person whose entire body is well connected, intact body, but if that body is not connected to the soul within, then what is the use of that well intact dead body again then? Which means ultimately, or we can say, what is the value of that soul also if that soul is not connected to the super soul? So which means ultimately the hairs, the head, the shoulders, the legs and everything, all the body is connected to the soul, then only it has got value. And the soul, when it is connected to the super soul, then only it has got any value. Which means ultimately everything has to be connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when we are speaking of this Krishna connection aspect, we have to understand that we are talking of two personalities. One is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the second is we, living entities. Now, as far as Krishna is concerned, he is well connected with everything and everyone because he is the Supreme Creator. He is connected to every single atomic particle within this creation. But as far as we are concerned, we can't say that we are so well connected with Krishna all the time. Most of the time we are disconnected. Whenever we try to call up in the morning with our mala, disconnected because of the inattention. Line disconnected. Try again. Next round. Again we find line disconnected. Again we try next round. And sometimes the 16 times we try, all the time we find disconnected. Then we have to try again the next day. It never happens that line is very busy because so many people are calling at the same time. We never find that. It's always the fault with our instrument. Krishna never says, line very busy, call later. So we see, we find that we are most of the time disconnected with the Supreme Lord. Though we are so close. The soul is so close to the super soul. But still, there is so much of distance we find, we feel. Now in the Nyaya Shastra, it is said that this particular problem which the living entity faces is known as the Vismrita Kantha Mani Nyaya. Again, Vismrita Kantha Mani Nyaya, which means a person who is wearing a very dazzling jewel, a mani around his neck, and is searching all around for that jewel which is around its neck. Vismrita, that is vismriti of that mani which is around his kantha. So similarly, we are searching everywhere for Krishna actually. Like Shriman George Harrison, he wrote in the foreword of the Krishna book, everyone is searching for Krishna. The only difference is some know it and some do not know it. We are all actually searching for Krishna. In our conditioned state, we are searching for Krishna in the sense objects. And in our liberated state, we are directly searching for Krishna. But everyone is searching for Krishna. And actually Krishna is so close to us. He is seated right beside us in our heart. In our childhood, we had the small Puranic story of discussion between Kali personified and Maya Devi. Now can you imagine what kind of discussion that would be? Kali personified discussing with Maya Devi. Very dangerous kind of discussion would go on then. So they were discussing, now Kali Yuga is approaching. So where should we hide God consciousness or Krishna consciousness? Which is that place where we can hide it so that nobody can trace it out? So Kali said, maybe we should hide it deep down the oceans, in the seas. And Maya Devi said, no, the people of Kali Yuga, maybe they will invent a submarine and go down and find out. So she said, no, no, they can go and find out over there also. So then Kali said, maybe then we should place it on the peaks of the Himalayas. Maya Devi said, no, they might climb up over there also and get it. So then Maya Devi suggested, I know one place where nobody will go. And Kali was very much eager to know, what is that place? Maya Devi said, in everyone's heart. So you hide God consciousness in everyone's heart, and people in this age of Kali Yuga are so dumb, they are not going to go into their own hearts to find out that God is situated so close to them. So we see, as far as Krishna is concerned, He is well connected with us, but we, because of our vismriti, we have forgotten Him and have disconnected from Him. Now, in the Western world, when the Indologists came to India, they took these kinds of sutras from the Nyaya Shastras and they started propagating a very dangerous philosophy known as the fatalistic philosophy, in which it says that God or higher powers, they are like chess players playing chess, the game of chess. And this material world is like the chessboard which they are using. And we living entities are like the chessmen placed at different places in this on this chessboard. So this fatalistic philosophy says that after all, everyone is just an instrument in the hands of the chess player. We are like the chessmen. So if I am in a liquor bar or a casino or a brothel, it is actually the chess player who has placed me there. And if somebody is coming to this temple, it is that chess player who has placed him in this particular section of the chessboard. So in ultimate sense, we are all instruments in the hands of the supreme player. And if I am enjoying in a liquor bar or whatever, it's just my fate. It's called fatalistic philosophy. And if Lord wishes, He can pick me up and place me in this section. So this turned out to be a very dangerous philosophy, in which they admit that God is connected with everyone and we are actually connected from our side according to His wish. So then we can do anything and it's all just in His name we are doing. So Krishna also speaks about them in the Bhagavad Gita, pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidurasura. That, you know, these demoniac people, they don't discriminate what is right and what is wrong. It's like, you know, these fatalistic philosophers also are somewhat close to this kind of demonic propensity. They don't discriminate what is right and what is wrong. It's just our fate. Like one such fatalistic philosopher who was very much concerned about, these philosophers are concerned about their right side brain and left side brain. He went to a neurologist to show two sides of his brain. So after the examination was done, the neurologist said that, "I am very sorry, I have examined both sides of your brain. There is nothing right on the left side of your brain and there is nothing left on the right side of your brain." Which means essentially there is nothing left in your brain. So because they don't discriminate between right and wrong, so there is nothing left in their brains to understand that, you know, how it is our free will which is also the important factor which works. So our own Vedas then refute this philosophy. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, the definition of God is given, raso vaisah samhi vayam ladhva vanandi. This is one of the definitions of God, that He is actually the source of all rasas. Now anyone doing anything in this material world, he is doing that or he is getting connected to that particular thing or object or person because he is getting some rasa out of that. So a person goes to liquor bar or casino because he is getting some rasa out there. And a person comes to temple because he is getting some rasa. Even today, on this day, when everyone is fasting, you are all getting some kind of rasa, therefore you have come. So which means, ultimately, it depends on the selection of our rasas that gets us at a certain place. And since the Supreme Lord is the source of all rasas, so one can again take this particular aspect, that He is the source of all rasas, so therefore, you know, if I am enjoying some rasa in a liquor bar, so it's all good then. But then the Upanishad explains that all the rasas, they are actually not on the same level. They have got different purposes to fulfill. Like there are certain rasas which binds living entities, and there are certain rasas which liberates living entities. So it depends upon our selection of a particular rasa which might bind us and which might liberate us. In the third kind of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni, while explaining the glories of devotional service to Mother Devahuti, explains in a beautiful verse, Cheta khalvasya bandhaya muktaye chat mano matam
गुणेषु सक्तं बंधाय रतं वा पुंसि मुक्तये.
यरन ही इज एक्सप्लेनिंग दैट हाउ चेता खलवस्य बंधाय, दैट बिकॉज ऑफ अ सर्टन रसा इन अ सर्टन मोड अ पर्टिकुलर लिविंग एंटिटी गेट्स बंधाय कंडीशन, ही गेट्स बाउंड. मुक्ताय चात मनोमतम. ऑन द अदर हैंड another living entity makes a proper selection to enjoy a certain rasa, gets liberated from this material world. Now one might question that how come somebody who is enjoying a rasa and also is getting bound, how come somebody get rasa in bondage? Like there is a plant called the Venus flytrap. If you know about this plant, it's a very unique and strange kind of plant. Actually, we have seen videos of how this plant catches its prey. So this Venus flytrap plant, it has got two leaves which are like this, you know, two open palms in that shape. And there are many fine hairs on the inner side of these leaves which carry sweet nectar on it, which attracts many flies to relish that nectar. So as soon as a fly comes and sits in the inner portion of the leaf to enjoy that sweet nectar, and as it sits on the fine hairs, what happens is that those fine hairs are acting like buttons to close the leaves then. So which means the fly presses on the buttons to close the leaves as it thinks that he is enjoying that sweet nectar in that plant. So immediately when the fly sits inside to enjoy that sweet nectar, the leaves close and the fly is trapped. And what the fly thought as the sweet nectar, actually that is nothing but the digestive fluid of that plant which then digests that fly. So it's a non-veg plant. It's a meat-eating plant. So herein we see how the insect, that fly, is trying to enjoy some sweetness in that dangerously deathly situation. So that fly is trying to enjoy some rasa out of that, not only gets bound but gets killed. And then we have the liberated personalities who enjoy rasa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotional service. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now, when we are speaking of how all these, hope you are all connected with me, how all these connections are done in conditioned stage, when somebody gets connected negatively with Krishna, and in liberated stage, how somebody gets connected with Krishna through the different potency. Although the potency is all coming from Krishna, He is the supreme creator, He is the supreme potent. So we see that when we are in conditioned stage, we are connected to Krishna through Mahamaya. And it's not something glorious which these fatalistic philosophers think. Like many years ago, we were preaching in one medical college, and I remember one student, he was off and on coming for our programs, and he knew the philosophy in bits and pieces here and there. He knew some of the terms which we use. So he was trying to preach to one of his friends, and he understood that, you know, in this Hare Krishna movement, anything which is prefixed with Maha is glorious. Mahaprasad, Mahamantra, Mahasatsang. So he was telling that how, you know, if you chant Mahamantra and if you eat Mahaprasad, then you will be in Mahamaya. So he understood, why just Maya? I should tell Mahamaya, which will be, you know, something very nice. So he understood that anything which is prefixed with Maha is glorious. But actually in our conditioned stage, We are connected with Krishna through Mahamaya. And when we are trying to practice Krishna consciousness, we are trying to connect ourselves with Krishna through the Yoga Maya potency, through the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. And actually, both these energies are coming from Krishna. As Prabhupada would give the example that electricity is one, but when it passes through the refrigerator, it cools something. When it passes through the heater, it heats up something. And actually, Hiranyakashipu, when he asked this question to Prahlad Maharaj, where do you get your powers from? And Prahlad actually gave a very simple answer. Actually, Hiranyakashipu's question was a little stupid, because everything comes from Krishna, Vishnu. And Prahlad Maharaj, when he gave that answer, everything is coming from Vishnu. I am getting my powers from where you are getting your powers. So Prahlad Maharaj gave a very simple answer. And Hiranyakashipu couldn't figure out that, what does this mean? What do you mean by that? And he was quite confused. The same power, the same person is giving power to both of us. It's like, you know, if the tube light asks the fan, where are you getting your power to revolve so nicely? So the fan will say, you're really tube light. It's the same power coming from the same source. So we see the same power, but in our conditioned stage, we understand it as Mahamaya, and in liberated stage as Yoga Maya. Now, in Krishna consciousness, we understand that what to speak of our connection directly with the Supreme Lord, but anything of this material world, made up of some material elements, when that gets connected with Krishna, attains its real glory. And we see that so many different things which we use in Krishna's service, because they get Krishnaized, therefore they get their real value. Like for example, we won't come in front of any piece of stone and pay our obeisances. But when we come in front of the deities, we have seen so many marble things in our life. But when we come in front of the deities, because it has got that Krishna connection, in fact, Krishna himself appears through that particular element. So therefore, we not only pay our obeisances, but we actually surrender our lives at his lotus feet. What else we can think of? Dust or dirt. We go to Vrindavan and we apply mud on our head. In fact, devotees roll in that particular Braja Raja. Why? Because it has got connection with Krishna. Ordinarily, you won't walk around, you know, picking up the Chopati sand and putting on your head. But because Braja Raja is connected with the lotus feet of Krishna, it becomes glorious. Water, Ganga Jal and waters of Jamuna, they are glorious because it has got connection with Krishna. Any plant, we won't be paying our obeisances, but in front of Tulsi, we bow down, we circumambulate and we chant the Pradakshina mantra. So, why? Because it has got the Krishna connection. Any book, what is it? It is just paper and ink. But we place it in a very respectful way and we offer garland, pay our obeisances and honor it, worship it, because it has got that Krishna connection. Devotees who are connected to Krishna, they become glorious. In fact, sometimes people who have some very faint understanding of the Supreme Lord also worship some mundane articles. Like I remember when this Ramayana serial was going on, there were some families who were worshipping the television set. When the character of Ram would come, they would be ready with their aarti plate. And as soon as, you know, the serial would begin, you know, they would start performing aarti. Of course, we have to understand that we regard anything which has got value or anything which is connected to Krishna according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Like Srila Prabhupada one time, he was having his morning walk on the Cheviot Hills in LA, and there were many devotees along with Prabhupada on that morning walk. So Prabhupada, as he was walking, he saw a big house, a huge mansion. Prabhupada looked at that house and said, "Someday we shall have a big house like this for Krishna." And everyone said, "Jai Srila Prabhupada." Prabhupada went a little ahead, and from across the street came a big wide stretched limousine, a big car. And Prabhupada said, "Someday we shall have a big car like this for Krishna." And everyone said, "Jai Srila Prabhupada." And a little further ahead, all the devotees saw that one big dog came running. And now Prabhupada looked at everyone. Everyone looked at Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "One day we shall have a dog like this for Krishna." And everyone said, "Jai Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada looked back, "You fools, what we need a dog for?" Again they said, "Jai Srila Prabhupada." So we see how anything which has to be having a connection with Krishna, it has to have the basis of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So we were speaking of all these elements: stone, dust, water, paper, metals, and all these things when connected with Krishna become glorious. Also, sometimes we see some mundane, apparently mundane material activities done in connection with Krishna becomes glorious. Like Arjuna, he was engaged in killing for Krishna, which is according to the moral codes considered to be a sin. But because it was in connection with Krishna, every arrow which Arjuna was shooting, he was getting liberated. And every attack which Duryodhan was doing, he was getting bound, because he was doing in connection with Maya and Arjuna was doing in connection with Krishna. We see Arjuna was also induced by Krishna to kidnap Subhadra. So again, something like this, kidnapping, but when it is done in connection with Krishna, it becomes glorious. Stealing, Krishna was engaged in stealing. The gopis, they relinquish their religious duties in hope of connecting themselves with Krishna, and they are glorified for that. So we see all these apparently mundane activities also, sometimes sinful activities also, somebody might consider them, but when done in connection with Krishna, is so valuable, becomes so glorious. Now we see that for devotees, certain situations which might be again on a material platform, or even if it might be miserable, the situations might be lopsided in a devotee's life, but that devotee sees Krishna's hand working behind it. Srila Prabhupada was walking on the streets of Bavari, and he had to walk over all these drunks who were lying on the street, and it was like a heavy tamoguni atmosphere, and all the devotees are feeling so bad. Here is the pure representative of Krishna, and he has to walk over all these drunks. And Srila Prabhupada said, "If you have the eyes, you can see Vaikuntha over here also." So that situation, Prabhupada was actually seeing Vaikuntha. As we all know, Prabhupada made that bold statement, "There was never a moment when I was not Krishna conscious." Quite a bold statement to say. In fact, we can boldly say, "There was not a moment when I was Krishna conscious." Prabhupada said, "When I was not Krishna conscious." In fact, we see in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, what kind of material miserable situation. Of course, for him, he saw everything in connection with Krishna. But when someone like us, when we read how Prahlad Maharaj underwent all those tribulations, it appears that how could he be Krishna conscious even in that situation? In Narsingha Puran, it explains that when all these demons who were ordered by Hiranyakashipu to kill Prahlad in various ways, when they tried their level best and they failed, they were really helpless and they took Prahlad to one corner and asked, "Prahlad, tell us, what are you made up of? What's happening with you? We are trying our level best to kill you, and if you don't get killed, you know, he's going to kill us. What's happening with you?" And Prahlad just innocently revealed that, "You're trying to kill me, but I see Krishna's hand in everything." And they were very much surprised. So they asked Prahlad, "What do you mean by that? Krishna's hand in everything? We fed you deadly poison. How could you see Krishna in that?" And Prahlad Maharaj said, when the churning of the milk ocean was going on, the first thing which came out was halahal. And of course after that, my worshipable mother Lakshmi came out. So because the source of halahal and Lakshmi was the same, which means halahal becomes the brother of my worshipable mother Lakshmi. So which means halahal becomes my mama. So how come my own maternal uncle can become cause of my death? Now the demons, they were completely bewildered. What is he speaking? Halahal, Lakshmi, Samudra Manthan, Mama. Maybe they were becoming Mama. So then they asked, "We tried to burn you in that blazing fire. What do you have to say about that?" And Prahlad said, in the Vedas it is said, Yagyo Vaisa, that the fire in the Yagya is the tongue of Vishnu. And my worshipable Lord is Vishnu. How come the tongue of Vishnu can be the cause of my death? So they asked, "What about that situation when we pushed you through that cliff, that high cliff?" And Prahlad said, "My Supreme Lord, he appeared as Varahadev and lifted Mother Earth. So how can Mother Earth become the cause of my death when my Lord helped her?" And he asked, "What about the pit of snakes in which we threw you?" And he said, "Ananta Shesh is the source of all the snakes. So how can any of the descendants of Ananta Shesh, these little snakes, can do anything to me?" They asked, "What about that elephant, huge elephant which we used to trample over you?" And then again Prahlad had the answer. Prahlad said, "My Supreme Lord saved the king of the elephants, Gajendra. So what could all these little elephants who are his descendants do to me when my Lord saved, did the ultimate favor to the king of all the elephants?" So herein we see how apparently all these deathly situations, Prahlad Maharaj was seeing the Krishna connection in everything. This is the glory of a devotee. That a devotee, wherever he is, he sees the connection of Krishna. In fact, if we take the reverse logic of maybe some personalities who might be apparently performing some Vedic spiritual ritualistic activities, we were speaking of some mundane activities done in connection with Krishna becomes glorious. But let us take these activities which might be considered as religious. But again, if it is not connecting that person or that practitioner to the Supreme Lord, then it is of no value again. Maharaj Kulashekhar, in a beautiful verse, explains in this regard that how a person who might be performing so many religious activities, but if ultimately he is not conscious of the Supreme Lord, ultimately he is not linking himself to the Supreme Lord in spite of all those religious activities, that's of no avail. And in this verse he explains, Amnaya bhyasananya ranya ruditam Veda vritanyan vaham
మేధశ్చేద ఫలాని పూర్త విదయ సర్వం హుతం భస్మని తీర్థానామవగాహనాని చ గజ స్నానం వినా యత్పదం ద్వంద్వాంభోరుహ సంస్మృతిం విజయతే దేవ సనారాయణ.
అపియర్స్ టు బి వెరీ ప్లీజింగ్ బట్ హ్యాస్ గాట్ అ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ మీ. మహారాజ్ కులశేఖర్ ఇస్ సెయింగ్ దట్ సంబడీ మైట్ బి ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ రీడింగ్ ద వేదిక్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ ఎవ్రీడే. ఆమ్నాయ రెఫర్స్ టు వేదిక్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్, అభ్యాస రెఫర్స్ టు రీడింగ్. సో హియర్ ఇన్ మహారాజ్ కులశేఖర్ ఇస్ సెయింగ్ సంబడీ మైట్ బి ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ రీడింగ్ ద వేదిక్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ బట్ ఇఫ్ హీ ఈజ్ నాట్ కనెక్టింగ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ విత్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ త్రూ దాట్ రీడింగ్ then that reading of Vedic scriptures is like Aranya Ruditam, is like crying loudly in the wilderness of forest, speaking quite heavily. Even though he might be reading Vedic literatures, but if he is not connected with the Supreme Lord through that reading, his reading is like crying in the wilderness of forest. And then he goes on to explain, Veda Vratanyan Vaham, that a person might be engaged in various kinds of austerities and penances, Veda Vrata, but again, if he is not connecting himself with the Supreme Lord through those austerities, then those austerities are doing what to that person then? What is the least that that person gets out of those austerities? Only some physical exercise, maybe some fat of the body is reduced. Medas Cheda. So if our Pandav Nirjala Ekadashi is not connecting us to the Supreme Lord, then maybe we are just saving some water today for someone else, or maybe we are becoming a little lighter today. So ultimately all these austerities should connect us to the Supreme Lord. And then he goes on to explain, Sarvam Hutam Bhasmani. People might be engaged in big Agnihotra sacrifices, but if the ultimate goal of all these sacrifices is not to connect to the Supreme Lord, then it is like pouring butter over ashes. What is the use of that sacrifice when butter is poured over ashes? Sarvam Hutam Bhasmani. And then he explains, Tirthanam Avagahanani Chagajasnanam, that a person goes to take bath in holy rivers, if again his consciousness is not to connect with the Supreme Consciousness, then that snana is like gaja snana, is like bathing of an elephant. And then Maharaj Kulashekhar concludes by saying, Dvandvam Bhoruha Samsmritim Vijayate, that on the other hand, if we have one person, one devotee of the Supreme Lord who comes in front of the Supreme Lord with folded hands and just prays, he is not engaged in any Vedic reading of Vedic scriptures or performance of big austerities or performance of big yajnas or taking bath in holy rivers, but he just comes in front of the Lord and folds his hand and prays out of gratitude, samsmriti vijayate, he can cross over not just the cycle of birth and death, but he can achieve deva sanarayana, he can achieve the supreme abode of the Supreme Lord, Narayan. So herein, we see, first we understood how mundane activities when connected with Krishna becomes glorious. And herein, Maharaj Kulashekhar is saying that religious, spiritual activities, but if not connected to Krishna, doesn't have any value. So we see that for a devotee, any situation he is in, because he is always connected with Krishna, whether he is engaged in some, you know, material situation of this world, whether he is in hell, whether he is in heaven, whether he is in the spiritual world, he is always glorious because he is always connected with Krishna. One book distributor asked Prabhupada that we are out on the street and there is so much of Maya over there when we are distributing your books. So, how can we see the Krishna connection in this? And Srila Prabhupada said that if you go on distributing my books like that on the street as you are handing over these books to these people out on the street, one day you will hand over one book to Krishna. Which means, Prabhupada said, one day you will meet Krishna on the street face to face. That was Srila Prabhupada's benediction. So we see devotees who are engaged in preaching this particular message of the Supreme Lord, how they are actually in the most glorious position. As Prabhupada said, that a devotee while living in this material world enjoys the topmost pleasure. And Prabhupada said, what is the topmost pleasure in this material world? That is the pleasure of preaching. When he gave this name to Bhavananda Prabhu, who was here just recently, so he didn't understand the meaning of this, you know, word Bhavananda. Some devotee said, Bhava, we have understood, means this material world, and Ananda, we all know. So he was quite confused. Bhavananda means I should take pleasure in this material world. So he approached Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, actually, Bhavananda, yes, it means you should take pleasure in this material world. That is the meaning of your name. And he was still more confused. Now Prabhupada is saying, I should take pleasure in this material world. And then Prabhupada clarified, there is only one pleasure in this material world, and that is the pleasure of preaching. So Prabhupada said, a devotee while living in this material world enjoys the pleasure of preaching. Like recently in these elections, in one constituency in Uttar Pradesh, one particular leader was preaching, campaigning about his particular party, and there was so much protest from the audience. So they were shouting loudly and they were saying, Bhashan nahi, hame rashan do. Aur yadi rashan nahi de sakte, to tumhara asan do. So all these slogans were chanted very loudly. Now if we see that when our devotees go for giving some bhashan, so, you know, first of all they are given asan first to sit and give their bhashan, and after all of that is over, then some ration is given. So for these politicians, you know, they are chanting loudly, we don't want your bhashan, we want our ration, and if you can't give that, give us your asan. But the position of a devotee is, he gets all the three. Now, Prabhupada said that whether a devotee is in this material world or whether a devotee is in the spiritual world, because he is directly under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which means Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So therefore, he is connected with Krishna always through the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. And actually we see in this age of Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the best way to connect to Krishna, and that is through chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We hear of this example that just like a child is connected to its mother through the umbilical cord and gets all the nourishment through that, similarly, the devotee's Japamala is like that umbilical cord which connects that devotee with the Supreme Parent, Sri Radha and Krishna, and gets all the nourishment through them. But then we have to understand that in order to establish this connection, there has to be a proper mood. Otherwise, again, as Maharaj Kulashekar explains, it will become like any other ritualistic practice or ritualistic spiritual practice. If the mood is not developed, the proper mood of connection is not developed. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just giving us the ways by which we can connect with Krishna, but also is giving the mood through ತೃಣಾದಪಿ ಸುನಿಚೇನ ತರೋರ್ ಇವ ಸಹಿಷ್ಣುನ ಅಮಾನಿನ ಮಾನದೇನ ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾಹರಿ. ದ ಮೋರ್ ಹಂಬ್ಲರ್ ವಿ ಆರ್, ದ ವೆಲ್ ಕನೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಪೊಸಿಷನ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ದರ್ಫೋರ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಎಂಫಸೈಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ಹ್ಯುಮಿಲಿಟಿ. ಗೋಪಿ ಭರ್ತುರ್ ಪದ ಕಮಲಯೋರ್ ದಾಸ್ ದಾಸ್ ದಾಸಾನು ದಾಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಸೇ 100 ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದಾಸ್, ವಿಚ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ ಮೋರ್ ಹಂಬ್ಲರ್ ವಿ ಆರ್, ದ ಮೋರ್ ಇನ್ಸಿಗ್ನಿಫಿಕೆಂಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್, ದ ಬೆಟರ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಕನೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಆಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಅನ್ಲೈಕ್ ಪೋಲ್ಸ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಟ್ ಈಚ್ ಅದರ್, ಸೊ ದ ಕನೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಸ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಲೋಲಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಹೌ ದಿ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟಾಟ್ ಅಸ್. ಐ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ರಿಗಾರ್ಡ್. ಒನ್ ಟೈಮ್ 100 rupee note and a 1 rupee note, they were discussing, recollecting their travels, what they did throughout their life. So the 100 rupee note starts boasting about his travels, as he said that the first day when I came out from the bank, I entered into the pocket of the Prime Minister of our country, and since then I have been traveling in the pockets of big celebrities. I have been decorating their wallets and purses. I have been in big 5-star hotels and big shopping malls and their cash boxes. I have always decorated big celebrities. So he was boasting about, you know, his travel, his life's travel. And when the 1 rupee coin or 1 rupee note was asked, so the 1 rupee note said, as far as I am concerned, I don't have an extravagant lifestyle like you. I can only say that I was always in the donation boxes of temples. In various temples, you know, generally people, they take out 1 rupee, a standard donation, and puts. So this 1 rupee said, I have always been traveling in all the temples, and actually I have always been in the service of God because of my lowly position. So what he meant was that you might have, you know, done your services to the so-called big celebrities and personalities, but though I am just 1 rupee, so lowly, but I have served the supreme celebrity, the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So therefore our real connection can be established only when we come in this particular mood. And Prabhupada used to say that we can always appreciate the presence of Krishna everywhere in this material world. We can understand our lowly position and Krishna's high position. As Prabhupada would often use this favorite example that you can relish Krishna even in drinking water. You can understand Krishna just by drinking water, because Krishna says he is the taste of water. And of course today we can connect Krishna by not drinking water also. So we see that a devotee in any situation, he can use it and get himself connected with Krishna. So to conclude with, we have to understand that in this age of Kali Yuga, as they advertise nowadays, the best way to connect, some advertisements I saw, so the best way to connect in this age of Kali Yuga is this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And of course we have Srila Prabhupada, who is the most glorious connection, who can connect very easily, you know, our lowly selves to the supreme lordships, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So maybe we can take some few questions if anyone has. Of course, there will be some prasad downstairs, don't worry about that. We'll be worrying about that, you know, what will happen now, next. There is no inspiration to go down. You had some question? Somebody had?
Thank you very much for your wonderful lecture, Ram. I had one question about, as you said in your lecture, like if we read the scriptures and if we are not connected to the super soul or the Krishna, then it is a waste. So could you please throw a light on this, like how we are reading the scriptures and we need to connect to the Lord?
There is this pastime in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was traveling through South India and he met this illiterate Brahmana. He was illiterate. He didn't know how to read and write. And his guru had ordered him to read Bhagavad Gita every day. So, every day whenever he would hold the Bhagavad Gita in his hand, he would start crying. He couldn't go further, he would just start crying. And all the other pandits who were well versed in the Sanskrit language and maybe were reading Bhagavad Gita every day would make fun of this Brahmana, would ridicule this Brahmana. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with this Brahmana, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked that, "You don't know how to read and write, but why are you crying?" So he said, "Whenever I see this picture of Krishna and Arjun, how Krishna has become the servant of his devotee, I start crying, looking and trying to imagine and fathom the love of the Supreme Lord for his dear devotee. I start crying looking at that picture." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "You have actually understood the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Though that Brahmana, he might have not read a single verse from the Bhagavad Gita, but he understood the essence." Which means ultimately it is one's consciousness. If it is flowered up, then only it can give the real value of anything one does in spiritual life. And these other so-called pandits who were reading the Vedic scriptures every day, well-versed in Sanskrit language, were actually just crying in the wilderness of forest, as Maharaj Kulashekar says. So therefore, the mood is very important. The consciousness is very important. So I think we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.